Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Praise God. How many of you feel the presence of the Lord in your lives? Amen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We serve a mighty God, a God who is for us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We have having a 3-day fasting, and on Friday evening I shared with you on walking into that 5 levels of anointing and what that flood anointing is all about, and how to move into that flood anointing too, and how to move into that river anointing, and how to have that fountain of living water springing up from your inward being. Hallelujah. Psalms 87 and verse 7 says, "My springs are in thee, O Lord." Hallelujah. The springs of living water are in the Lord, and that's what the springs of living water are going to flow forth from our inward being. This morning, we want to look to a passage of scripture, though we don't have much time to preach in this morning session. We're going to open our Bibles to the book of Revelations, the 5th chapter. And verse 6. Hallelujah. "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Praise God. The 7 horns and the 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits. Hallelujah. We have just one Holy Spirit. 7 in the Bible denotes perfection. So it denotes the perfect ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are no 7 spirits. There is only one Holy Spirit. Amen. And 7 denotes perfection in the scriptures. So it is the perfect ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the perfect ministry is mentioned in 7 horns and 7 eyes. 7 eyes means He's the one who knows everything. You can't hide anything from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I mean, He's the possession of every perfect insight, knowledge, and understanding. There is nothing that you can hide from His presence. That is why in Psalm 139, the psalmist is saying, "If I should make my bed in the depths of the sea, the Spirit of the Lord would find me there. If I move into the clouds, He would find me there. If I should settle in the farthest corners of the earth, He would find me." There is not a single place you can hide in this world away from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I do not know what you are going through, but I know one thing. The Holy Spirit sees what you're going through. And He's got the perfect ministry, and He knows exactly how to bring you through. Amen. He knows exactly how to bring you through. I mean, don't miss out on the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that He is there. The Father is in heaven. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. But we have the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He is here on earth. In Luke's Gospel chapter 1, we find the angel of God coming and saying to Mary, "You shall have a son and you shall name him Jesus." Mary saying, "How is it that I have not even known a man? How can I have a son?" And then the angel is saying, "The power of the Most High God will come and overshadow you." Speaking about the Holy Ghost. I mean, what the angel is saying is, don't miss out on the Holy Spirit. What seems impossible is made possible. Because the Holy Spirit is going to move for you. I do not know what you're going through, but one thing I know, if the Spirit of God should move, that's good enough for me. This ministry was founded right there by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I was just a vessel that He used. Your lives have been brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus because wherever you were, the Holy Spirit of God had been ministering unto you. He had His own way of bringing you to an understanding of the gospel. You came with much defensiveness. You came with a lot of barriers and blocks, but I am so glad that you are not what you used to be. Maybe you might not be what you want to be, but thank God you are not what you used to be. You are on the move. The Spirit of God is moving through. Looking back into your life, sometimes you look back and you say, praise God, I've come a long way. Hallelujah, come a long way. Come a long way. Why? Because he's been faithful. The perfect understanding of the Spirit, that's the seven eyes. The seven horns, horns in the Bible are symbolic of power. So, horns symbolize the perfect power or the complete power and authority of the Holy Spirit of God. I like what Yonggi Cho said. Once Yonggi Cho was sitting in a church and a lady came to him for prayer. This lady was demon possessed. And the lady was manifesting, the demons were there inside of her and was troubling her and tormenting her. So she was sitting there right in the congregation. And after that she came for counseling. So Yonggi Cho sat there and said, let's pray. And so he knew that she was demon possessed. And she said, I'm possessed. I've got demons inside of me. So Yonggi Cho said, fine, let me pray for you. So he sat there and he began to pray. He said, in the name of Jesus, devil, I command you, come out of this lady. Come out of this lady. Nothing happening. Again he prayed, in the name of Jesus, devil, I command you, come out of this lady. Come out of this lady. Nothing happening. He began to pray for 3 hours, 4 hours. He began to kneel down and pray, stand up and pray, scream and pray, holler and pray. He was praying the best way he knew how. The demons are not coming out. And suddenly, the power of God came upon him. And when the power of God just fell upon him, he said, in the name of Jesus, devil, I command you, loose this girl, let her go. The minute he said that, the demons completely came out of this woman and she was completely set free. She began to cry and she said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Yonggi Cho prayed for her and asked her, how do you feel? She said, I feel fine, I feel perfect. The Lord has set me free. And then he asked, when did the Lord set you free? What happened? So this woman who was demonically possessed, she was saying, see, the demons were speaking inside my head. And the demons were speaking and saying that we're going to kill you. We're going to make you insane and kill you. And while this conversation of the demons was going on inside of me, that's the time you began to pray for me. When you began to pray for me, nothing happened. The demons were sitting inside and they were laughing. They says, he's got no power. He's got no power. The demons were laughing inside of me. But suddenly, the demons inside my head said, let's get out of this place because the Holy Ghost has shown upon that man. When the Holy Ghost shows upon you, it's perfect authority, perfect power. Amen? It denotes the perfect anointing, the power of God. The anointing means the power of God. Remember, in every area of your life, you need the anointing of God. You are a Christian. That means Christ. And I am nothing. Are you with me? Christ means the anointed one. And I means I am nothing. So it means it's all the anointing, the anointed one abiding in you. That's what Christianity is all about. Having the power of resurrection. I am glad we are seeking the Lord afresh today. And the anointing of God is already moving in this place and the anointing is going to intensify. The power of God. We're not speaking about earthly power. We're not speaking about carnal power. We're not speaking about political power. We're not speaking about financial power. We're not speaking about any of those things. We're speaking about the third person of the Holy Spirit. Third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit making an entry into your life. Perfect authority and power. Say perfect authority and power. See, the seven spirits speaks about the perfect manifestation. He knows the perfect manifestation. That's why where he moves, there is order. Are you with me? All the type of manifestations might be there. Sometimes I've just seen it in some of the meetings that we have. When the Spirit of God just shows up, there are people falling by the power. There are people laughing in the Spirit. There are people crying in the Spirit. There are people speaking in other tongues. There are people glorifying God. There are people accepting Jesus. There are people in the bag repenting and turning unto Jesus. There are people getting a fresh commitment unto the Lord. All this happening. And there is a perfect control. Perfect control. Just look and you see. Not a single time have I stood in the pulpit and seen the manifestation of the Spirit and never got scared. But when I didn't feel the anointing upon me, when I have looked at any manifestation, Lord, where do we take the meeting from here? Where do we go from here? The perfect authority and perfect manifestation and perfect insight of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you want that anointing of God upon you afresh? Well, let me tell you how, on whom the anointing is willing to come this morning. We don't have long time, but on whom the anointing of God is going to come. The presence of God is going to come upon people mentioned like Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Let's open our Bibles there. The 6th chapter of Judges and the 34th verse. See, it's the anointing of God that gives you the ability to be rich. Do you know that? That's right. Deuteronomy 8 says that. You need the anointing. Without the anointing, Deuteronomy 8 says, it is the anointing of God that gives you the ability to be rich. Some people try to be rich by their own self, by their own effort. Let me tell you, it will fail after some time. But when you have God moving in your boat, when you have God moving in your life, you see something happening. Judges 6 and verse 34. Are you there? Amen. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon the Spirit of the Lord. See, in Luke 24, Jesus said, stay in the city, the 49th verse, stay in the city till you are clothed with power from on high. Till you are clothed with power from on high, stay in the city. Amen. Praise God. Stay in the city till you are clothed with power from on high. See, when the Lord said that, and when He spoke about the Holy Spirit, there were 500 believers on earth. But there was only 120 of them showing up in the upper room. Hear me well. There were 500 believers on earth. But there was only 120 of them who showed up in upper room. 1 Corinthians 15 says, there were 500 believers on earth. And so 500 believers, 100 of them, 120 of them showed up. Those were the ones who were really hungry. Others were so distracted by many things. They were just concerned about things that are temporary other than things that are eternal. We don't even know the names of those people. But thank God 120 showed up. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are today, but let me tell you one thing. If you're really hungry, if you're really thirsty, you will seek the Lord like you've never sought Him before. You will seek the Lord and His presence and go near to the Lord. You will only grow near to the Lord as much as you want to. Do you know that? We're not speaking about a commitment. We are speaking about a consecration. We're not speaking about giving something to God. We are speaking about giving yourself to God. You will only be as close to God as much as you want it. If you take 2 steps to God, He will take 2 steps to you. That's why the Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So here we have 120 people showing up, and the Bible says in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Amen. You know why only 120 showed up? Well, let me explain this. That word Gideon in the Old Testament actually means he that bruises or cuts off iniquity. He that bruises or cuts off iniquity. He that bruises or cuts off. I like the second part, cuts off iniquity. Are you with me? The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, the man who had cut off iniquity. Praise God. Let me tell you this morning, there were 500 people who heard the message, but 120 showed up. You know why? Because they are willing to cut off iniquity. Praise God. I thank God for people who have understood this. How many of you are with me? How many of you know that if you have known the Lord even a little bit, even a little bit, if you have known the Lord even a little bit, you know how miserable it is to get back into bondage. I mean, you just try getting back into those pornography or into things that you have a holding on before, you will feel just miserable. You just feel so empty. See, lust is a disillusionment. I mean, you're just so disillusioned. You thought it was love, but it's just disillusion. And if you have been there, and if you've known the Lord a little bit, today you would be the person who would be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to cut off every iniquity. Just let me have that clothing of power. Let me have that resurrection power coming upon me. How many people say that today? Gideon was willing to cut off iniquity. Two. On whom else did the anointing of God come? 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, before we come to 1 Chronicles 12, let's just look at Ruth chapter 3 and verse 3. Ruth 3 and 3. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. What should you do? First, wash yourself. Are you with me? Get under the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Said Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1. Get under the blood of the Lamb. Wash yourself and then anoint yourself. Then put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. And do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. So here it says, first wash yourself and then anoint. Amen. First the washing, then the anointing. Amen. Praise God. Now let's get back into 1 Chronicles 12. On whom does the anointing of God come? Are you enjoying the word? Praise God, you will enjoy when that anointing hits you. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. The 12th chapter and the 18th verse. Then the Spirit came upon Amasa, chief of the captains. The Spirit came upon Amasa. So you have to know something about this man. The anointing is not given for us to play games with. I thank God. See, you seek first the kingdom of God and you fulfill the great commission, everything else will be added unto you. Believe me, we are a missionary ministry. We are a ministry that wants to go forth into the North India, into the rest of the world to minister the glory of God. God has called us just for that one purpose. Otherwise, brother, sister, please find yourself a new pastor. Hallelujah. I am urging to go where the Spirit of God wants me to go. I am willing to go where the Lord wants to take me through. Because what matters is what He has said. Go ye into all the world. Before Jesus is ascending to heaven, the last words that He's speaking to His disciples, you wouldn't have any time for silly talk at that time. Those are your last words before you're going to heaven. Go ye into all the world. What's primary in his heart is saying, go ye into all the world. Preach the good news. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name. After you make them a disciple, what should you do? Just don't leave them there. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you even to the very end of age. What a promise. The anointing of God is to fulfill the purposes of God. And when you begin to fulfill the purpose for which you were created, you heard yesterday morning, you were created for a purpose. God has got a work for you to do. And when you do that, everything else that you would ever desire, God will just bring it across to you. The 18th verse says, then the Spirit came upon Amasai. Who was this man? Well, one, He was a man. The second verse says, armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow. Here it speaks about people who came to David, and those people have been described, people who were able to use their left hand and their right hand for the work of God. Hallelujah. People just not using their left hand, but people who you're willing to use. Some people use their left hand, you know. Only their weakness they give it to God, not their strength. Hear me well. When they have a problem, they give it to God. Lord, I surrender. Who wouldn't? But when you're feeling kind of strong, you come to a place and say, Lord, I give my strength to you. All that I have belongs to you. Amasa was a man who could use his left hand and his right hand in doing the work for which God had called him. Amen. Praise God. That word Amasai means the burden of the Lord. The burden of the Lord. That word Amasai means the burden of the Lord. So he was a man who was willing to take the burden of the Lord. See, today you need a fresh anointing. Let me tell you why. Going back out of this place, that anointing will stir you up to glorify Jesus. Anointing will stir you up. But when that anointing rushes on you, even people will be drawn to you to ask you, listen, why is that peaceful look on your face? Why are you happy? The rubber market is down. Why are you happy? There is war going on. Why are you happy? Praise God, I'm happy because I've got the joy of salvation. Jesus Christ is abiding in my heart. The burden of the Lord. Look at neighbor and say, the burden of the Lord. If you're willing to carry the burden of the Lord, are you with me? Then the anointing is for you. The anointing means the yoke destroying, burden removing. That word means, anointing means yoke destroying, burden removing power of God. So every yoke and every burden is removed. But there is a fresh burden of the Holy Spirit that's birthed inside of you. That will be to see a tribe one for Christ. That will be to see a nation one for Christ. That will be to see a family one for Christ. That will be to just to see maybe just your father or your mother or your brother or your sister come to the Lord and walk in obedience to the word, no matter what the cost. In these days, God is separating people who are willing to step outside completely for the Lord, no matter what the cost is. People who are willing to take a stand for Jesus. Amasai, the ones who will carry the burden of the Lord. The one who will be able to say, listen, I've got this burning in my heart. I do not know what happens. I try to sleep, but I find the Spirit of God urging me to get up in the watches of the night and intercede before the presence of God. How do you know that God wants to bless a congregation through you? You will feel a burden in your spirit in prayer. And you know there's a calling coming upon you. If it is just the thrill of standing and doing something for God, it'll be short-lived. But it's a genuine burden to see somebody's lives being free. I look upon some of the men of God who have been unselfish, who have walked into homes, seen the burden of that family, and when God has spoken to them, who are willing to just stretch out the mat, sit there, fast and pray in the presence of God till that person is set free. Hallelujah. May God stir up hearts in this place today. We will see the burden of the Lord and move forth for the glory of Jesus. The desire of your heart is to see somebody else getting blessed. That's when you truly know that you have a burden. When it's always, I, me, myself, please, us four and no more, bless us all, Lord. You know you are in a trap of the self. When you're able to come out of it, I was just thanking God for some of those intercessors who comes upon weak, after week, day after day, nothing to gain, but all to lose, were willing to stand in the gap and cry before God so somebody else could be blessed walking into this congregation. I was thanking God for people. Yesterday somebody came and said, "Brother, I want to see that thing coming up in Orissa. I want to bring this. Please use this for the ministry in Orissa." I said, "That will go for the ministry in Orissa. The burden to see. I can't go there. I can't go there and struggle with malaria and stand there. I'm on 50,974, am I right? Villages not touched by the gospel of Jesus, having not even heard the name Jesus. Not even heard. Peter John Green, a man of God, just 40 kilometers outside Delhi, he stopped in a village. He came out and asked the villager there, "Do you know Jesus?" "No. Who is he?" He asked another one, "Do you know Jesus?" He says, "There is nobody by that name in this village. Go, the next village is 20 kilometers. Can you imagine that? Look at that street and tell me that your heart is not crying to see India one for Jesus. How convinced are you that Jesus is the only way of salvation? If you're truly convinced, you will get on your knees. You'll be willing to go. You won't count the cost, but say, "Lord, here I am. I'm willing to take your burden. I'm willing to sacrifice. There is no fire without a sacrifice." Remember that. There is never a fire without a sacrifice. You're in a college, you want to see that college touched by the Lord. You are in a house, you have been given the grace to understand the gospel. People persecute you, stand strong. They won't plead for you in heaven. Stand strong. The anointing of God is for the burden bearer. Amen. There is no anointing if the purposes of God are not fulfilled. 2 Chronicles 24. The third person upon whom the anointing is coming. 2 Chronicles 24. And the 20th verse. Oh, I didn't preach it fully in 1 Chronicles 12. Well, let's come to 2 Chronicles anyway. 24th chapter and verse 20. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." See, this man had a true, genuine desire to see people prosper. Can you imagine that? Prosper spiritually, that's the number one prosperity. Please, don't mistake me. When you speak about prosperity, people think it's just material. It's not. When you're spiritually prosperous, nothing else will matter to you. That's the truth. Nothing else will matter to you. All that you have belongs to the Lord. Everything that I have, I say again and again to the Lord, "Lord, if this car that you have given me doesn't profit your kingdom, take it. The phone, all that you've given me, if it doesn't profit your kingdom, take it, Lord." This man of God had a genuine desire, and he's saying, "Why are you transgressing the law of God so that you're not prospering?" Now this man's name was Zechariah, in whom the anointing of God came, the power of God came. That name means remembrance of the Lord. Zechariah means remembrance of the Lord. Say that with me. Remembrance of the Lord. Remembrance of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a powerful word, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I love this. Are you enjoying the word this morning? The 8th chapter. the 18th verse. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power. That word power means the anointing. Are you with me? To get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. But now the 17th verse says there, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Don't say that. But remember, it is the Lord your God. Are you with me? Now, what God is saying, you know, once a man of God came and spoke in India and he said, we are praying that people here who are in Asia, people who are in India, who are going through so much of economic discomfort and poverty, we pray that you will remember the Lord in your poverty so He can come and save you. You won't forget Him amidst your trouble, amidst your poverty. And the man of God from India got up and said to this man, listen, we will never forget our God. It is easier for us to remember our God amidst our poverty. But we are praying for you in wealthy nations who might forget your God amidst your wealth. There are two tests you need to pass. One is called the poverty test. When you're poor, it is easy for you to trust in the Lord and depend on Him because you have nowhere else to go. When you're in a trap, you need to depend on the Lord. You know that. But there is a greater test, the prosperity test. When God begins to make you prosperous, just stay faithful unto the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. All that I have belongs to You. I had a boy here. He's studying. He's an orphan. And this ministry supports him to study. So I told him a couple of years back, son, whatever you need to study, go study. Whatever you want to study, go study. So he went to study catering. And the last final years, it's an international catering college. I wouldn't even send my younger brother there if I was supporting him. But praise God to my parents. Well, he went there to study catering. And one day he came and told me, brother, I think I've got good marks. I'm happy. And I'm going into the next semester. Everything is going well. I'm so happy. So thrilled. I told him, son, today I want to do something. I want you to go back to your college and say you're not appearing for the next semester. You're quitting your studies. And I'll buy you a cycle. And I'll give you a Bible. I wanted to go through the street, keep the cycle by the roadside, and preach the gospel of Jesus. I said, I know it's hard, but you do that. That's what the Lord is telling you, you do that. So he went up and he began to pray. He was so excited coming and telling me good marks and going to the next semester. You know, I'm an orphan, but look how things are happening. God is making me prosperous all the time. After some time, he came back and he said, I'm willing. I am willing to just give up my studies and take up the Bible, go there and preach. And there might be no rewards, but you willing to? Yes, I'm willing to. So praise God. Let's pray together. I prayed and then I told him, go continue your studies. I was just testing you to see whether your heart was right. Whether your heart was right. He was willing. His heart was right. Praise God. He didn't forget the Lord amidst his success. The word Zechariah means the remembrance of the Lord. Wherever you are. In your poverty, in your success, wherever. To remember the Lord. He's the one to give Him glory. And the tithe and the offerings are a sign of your remembrance. Lord, this belongs to You. Two. Look at Joseph. The Bible says he was tested in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife is trying to catch hold of him. Nobody else in the house, Joseph. Just you and me. Come on. And what does Joseph do? There is one word that Joseph says. How can I sin against my God? He remembered the Lord amidst that temptation. How can I sin against my God? Remembrance. The anointing of God is going to come upon people
who are willing to remember what they should remember and forget what they have to forget.
We engrave our problems on stone and we write the things that God has done for us on sand. That's why the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, let all that is within me bless His holy name. And forget not any of His benefits. Avan cheytha oru nanmaye nee marakkarathu.
Avan cheytha oru nanmaye nee marakkarathu.
God has kept you, He's preserved you.
Today I'm going to pray for the anointing of God. One is going to come upon people who are like Gideon, cut off iniquity. Amen. Look at the neighbor and say, cut off iniquity. In the name of Jesus.
Come on now.
Amen. Praise God. Two, on Amaziah, the burden of the Lord. Are you with me? The one who will see the burden of the Lord. Three, upon Zechariah, the ones who will remember the Lord. No matter where they are, who will remember the Lord. Who will remember the Lord. Who will remember the Lord. Amen. Yeah, have you seen I was watching a Ben Hinn crusade the other day in the healing service, you know. I forget what it was. But a girl comes and she got healed of a pain in a little finger on the feet. I said, this tremendous pain, how long? For a couple of weeks, he did somewhere and terribly paining. And then he said, praise God, Jesus healed you? She said, yeah, Jesus healed me. And he said, let's rejoice in God. Let us rejoice. And I said, that amazed. See, here are people coming out of wheelchairs, people being healed of cancer, people coming out of paralysis, people just coming out of bondage, so huge, so strong. And here is somebody coming and saying, little pain, my little finger, healed. And he's taking all his time and energy to just thank the Lord and say, praise God, praise God. I said, that's the reason God keeps that anointing on him. He knows how to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. I am grateful. I am grateful to the Lord. Even if I just have a chance to just share my testimony, just to say the mic and say, Jesus is Lord, I'm grateful. If it has not anointed me this morning to preach, I'm grateful. I won't say, Lord, so many people have come to hear the preaching of the word. I said, praise God, Jesus. If you want me to just say, Jesus is Lord, and I will. That's all. The anointing of God. We close up with this final word. Psalms 92. And verse 10. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. New oil. That word fresh means life-giving oil. Fresh means life-producing oil. Fresh means highly stimulating. So the Lord is saying, I am giving you some fresh oil today. You anoint my head with fresh oil. Amen. How many of you want the fresh oil this morning? The perfect ministry of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's stand up in the presence of the Lord. Let's stand up in the presence of the Lord this morning. To the Lord in faith. Look to Jesus in faith. Be that man who is willing to cut off that iniquity and say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Look and say, Jesus, I want you. Nothing else matters, Lord, but you. And from your heart, I want you this time today. He's more eager to anoint you. He is the perfect Holy Spirit. He knows what you're going through. Just lift your hands to Him and welcome Him into your heart. And just thank the Lord from your heart. Not even loudly, but what you've got to thank Him from your heart. Just thank Him. Thank you. Bless him. Bless his name. Bless his name. Lord, I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord and my God, I exalt you. I worship you. I exalt you. I lift your name on high. You are higher than the heavens, Lord. You are higher than the heavens. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your name. I exalt the Holy One of God. To the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne, be glory and honor, power and majesty. Oh, to the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Ruda la manavani badabashika. Melpodana badabadabishika. Karabadala dubana badabadabibe. Lord, my God, is that the best? We worship you, Father. We worship. We worship. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. Father, I want to pray this morning that you will meet with your people today. That they will know that the comforter that you've given them, the Holy Spirit, I pray that you will give them a fresh anointing from heaven this morning. Father, I pray that the glory of God will move upon your children this morning. Let the presence of God that moved over the waters, that's been moving over this place today, move into the lives of your children. Let every area of their lives be saturated by the presence of the Holy God. Oh, hallelujah. Let the mighty hand of God. Oh, let the mighty hand of God. Let the mighty hand of God. Let the mighty hand of God. Oh, Ridabashandanabadabe. Let the mighty hand of God. Let the mighty hand of God.